The king is dead. Long live the king. Welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV Voltron After Show. We are looking at Season 5, Episodes 1 and 2. We have some very special people joining us tonight. And team, it's time to form Voltron.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
So season 5 has been insane. Just a little while.
I mean, shell shocked after that episode. Oh my god.
We've only murdered a main character. No big deal.
I mean, he was a bad guy. Bad guys tend to kick it at some point.
If you're lucky, depends on the show.
True.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV Voltron After Show. We are looking at season 5, episodes 1 and 2, The Prisoner and Blood Duel. And with me tonight, I have Red Lion, Emma Fife.
That's me, Emma Fife. I can be found all over the internet at my name, Emma Fife.
Blue Lion, Alexis Torres.
Hey, everyone. You guys can find me all over the internet at atorres890.
Green Lion, Megan Salinas.
Hey, guys. You can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's THEMENGUIN.
And I am Black Lion, Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias at Kiaxet. That is KIAXET. Our Yellow Lion is not able to join us tonight. You can follow Mark Donica at Mark B. Donica, correct?
Yes.
That's his
Mark
Twitter.
Mark B. Donica.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, girl.
I'm still just kind of auto.
So, yeah, it's no longer the artist formerly known as Soapbox Mark, Mark B. Donica.
Yeah. And of course, we have two wonderful guests joining us tonight, Lauren Montgomery and Joaquin Dos Santos. How are you guys doing?
Howdy, fantastic. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming back.
Always. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, always happy.
Yeah.
Now, you specifically requested to come on for these two episodes.
Yeah, I think, you know, whenever we do a season, we kind of have our favorites, and this was a really big deal. The death of Zarkon.
Yes.
Spoiler alert. Sorry, guys, I ruined it already.
We haven't been beating that into the ground already.
Yeah.
In terms of spoilers, the way we're going to handle it is the same way that we are handling it last season. Please keep the chat spoiler-free. Please keep the comments and the Twitter spoiler-free. And we are going to be keeping it spoiler-free for the first 30-40 minutes, and then we are going to drop the spoiler embargo and talk about the season as a whole. Mm-hmm. We will absolutely let you know when we do that. Words. It's going to be great tonight, guys. But for now, keep it spoiler-free for the people who managed to stop on this cliffhanger and not watch the rest of the season. We salute you. I don't have that kind of self-control.
Yeah.
I definitely saw a few people on Twitter going, like, I tried to stop and then, oops.
Yeah. I know. I was very, very cautious with this season that people were commenting on my tiny Red Lion, so I just wanted to bring him up to a level where her up to a level where you could see her better.
Oh, yeah.
But this whole season went in such a direction that I did not expect.
Oh, wow.
I felt very blindsided in a good way. Not okay. In a, like, why did you do that kind of way. But in a, wow, this all logically made sense, but I really didn't see this coming.
Yeah. It was great. It was pleasantly surprising all the way through.
And we kind of did a lot in a short amount of episodes.
You really did.
My brain is still recovering.
We're not going to have enough time to cover everything in detail, but
yeah.
I'd say the biggest bits that we have from these two episodes are Sam Holt is once again a player on the field.
I know. Waiting
for that for a dog's age. We have Lotor the informant that we may or may not be able to trust. And like we said, we have the death of Zarkon. Good lord.
Yep. I texted AJ and was like,
of course you did.
Listen, this was a great season for you, but I don't know what to think.
Who are you? Let's talk about a little bit about what he was saying in this first episode.
Right, because I mean, he basically does a complete 180 where he showed up at the end of effectively the last season. Mm-hmm. Being like, hey, I want to negotiate with you. Very smartly, they immediately put him in prison.
Sure. Yeah. This was like the cell that they had Loki in the first
Avengers. Yeah, exactly what
the
I was thinking.
Glass case of emotion.
Yeah. And then are immediately negotiating with him, and you basically find out that Lotor has been giving them leads on ways to kind of deal blows to the Galra Empire, or in this case, the really big lead that he gives them is, hey, there's this secret ultra high security prison where they take the really special prisoners.
See, and what I couldn't figure out, and what I'm still questioning, this whole season has just been me questioning Logan, which I think was probably the point, is why wouldn't he tell them that first? By the way, here's something of great personal value to you.
That was the one that came with the most risk, though, right?
Yeah. It did. Which he did specify. And on top of that, it's like, if we are to believe that we should trust Lotor, then there is a little bit of back and forth there of, well, Lotor also kind of needs to gauge whether or not he can trust them or gauge how much he can or cannot play them.
Yeah. Now, he's haggling. Yeah, you don't start with you
don't open with a full deck. Yeah, full hand.
Now, was there a lot of discussion in terms of how you wanted to handle those beats, like whether or not it was better to play him up as more duplicitous or if you wanted to make him more sympathetic before you guys finally decided on sort of the tone that we went with for these two episodes?
I think when we discussed Lotor, we wanted to make sure that everything he said had an element of like genuine,
like a genuine nature to it. Yeah.
So he
hasn't really done anything to make you believe he wanted to continue on the path of Zarkon, even in the time before.
Oh, 100%.
He just has his own way about going about these things.
Yeah.
I think the bigger sort of Lotor, sort of story point or character point was that. You know, one, he means things genuinely, whether he's playing somebody or not, whether he sort of follows up on everything that he does. So there's no real lie to be had, I guess.
I think when all is said and done, we'll be able to look back and realize that he's been telling the truth this whole time.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of where does it go from here?
Where does the truth go from here, really?
Yeah. And I think that is so much of the strength of that character is the fact that, you know, when you are introduced to him, now, I guess 2 seasons ago, it is very clear from the get-go that he and Zarkon are not on the same page.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it was interesting to see that relationship come to a head.
And really, when you think about it, he's had probably a ton of trauma in his life. So just the fact that he's overcome that and gotten to a place where he can see both sides. He's sort of where Allura eventually arrived when you really break it down. Because he respects the, both sides of the war.
Yeah.
Not to get too spoilery.
No.
I'm just kind of having a hard time getting past the fact that he attempted to murder them all upon their first meeting. So you can't stand there and say, I'm completely blameless. I've never done anything.
I think Josh had a good point because Josh had said in some interview that he had given that Shiro had a similar point pretty early on that, with war comes some hard sacrifices. And so you have to make some decisions. I think Lotor was just making some decisions.
This is true. I still don't trust him as far as I can throw him.
Yep.
That's your prerogative.
I'm so on the fence. I don't know.
I love the beats that we're getting, for sure, and I love the dialogue choices that have been made, and of course AJ's performance is out of
it's
the park.
Incredible.
So good.
The thing that keeps me going, like, this is still probably some part of an elaborate long con, is just every now and then there's like a smile or a smirk. Like, for me, in these two episodes, it was the moment he pulled out the Bayard and attacked Zarkon. He had this glorious smile on his face.
Megan, it's like you were psychically connected. Corinne Yee literally just in all caps typed, can we talk about how he got Shiro's Bayard?
Yeah. So like in that moment, it's like that could be seen as like he's really excited that he gets this chance to do away with his father. On the other hand, you could just look at that as that's a very Galra part of him, is that they take a lot of glory in battle.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, as we learn in later episodes, it literally that is how succession is decided. So
and that true. Fight the combat in both of these episodes, the dogfight in this first episode had some of the best choreography. That just maneuver when Pidge picked up the shuttle, I just kind of sat there and went, "What?" Yes. And the battle choreography on all three fronts in this second episode was just incredible. And the way it switched from one battle to another, I think we watched a ship crash and an explosion occur, and then we zoomed in on the fist fight going on in front of that. Just, it was beautiful.
Yeah,
Everything was beautiful.
It was a good all-hands-on-deck sort of storyboard situation with that episode.
Appreciate all the beauty and all the blood that went into it. Yeah. And all the storyboard artists who and the animators who are just crying.
Yeah.
Tears.
But it was a lot. It was a lot to manage because you had, you know, however many people fighting on the sort of cargo frigate thing that Zarkon mm-hmm. came in on. And that is alone just a battle to choreograph is a headache. And then you've also got all the stuff happening. And all the stuff happening in the sky with Lance.
With the Lance. Yeah, when they decide to come in.
It's a lot.
Yes. No lack of action in that episode.
No, definitely not. Well, and not in the first episode of the season either. I mean, even when you have that scene where Matt and Pidge are like on the other planet with Norman Reedus,
not Norman Reedus.
Formerly Norman Reedus.
Yeah. He started speaking, and I was like, "Is that still Norman Reedus?"
No, he had a cough.
He's a busy guy. Norman.
He's very busy.
We were lucky to get him for the one episode we got him, but
I think we didn't even plan to bring Rollo back initially for another, and so
when it happened, we were like, "You want that?" He's like, "Guys, I'm busy."
He's like,
no, we get it.
Yeah. Or he's with Hideo Kojima, one of the two.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
But speaking of, like, Prison Break episodes in this series are just absolutely fantastic.
Yes. They're some of the best. They really are.
And this one, every other Prison Break episode we've had, it's been skin of their teeth, security's going off, everything's going wrong. And this one, the biggest thing that went wrong is that gravity decided to try to murder Matt.
They had a little help. I mean, it was to their advantage that someone had already kidnapped the person they were trying to kidnap.
That's true.
They had an easy in and an easy out, but ultimately didn't.
My favorite
even acquire
was
their
Rollo's
goal.
Stealth attempt at like crawling on the floor. Failed instantly.
Yeah. I just love that you're not with the scary lady, are you? I'm like, okay, there's like five of them in this series. We gotta narrow this down.
And at this point, basically all of them. Never mind.
We'll get there.
Okay, pause. Forget it.
Save it for another, like, 10 minutes.
Forget that I said anything.
We touched on it a little bit last season, just seeing Galra generals who are women. We get a little bit of that in these two episodes. And again, not to get too spoilery, but, like, we get more later on. Mm-hmm. I just love that women are present, even though they're evil. It's just nice to have a show treat women like they're people.
Like they're normal people. Like, yeah.
Go figure.
Normal people that populate the world. That's pretty cool.
It's almost like women are people.
Who knew?
Yeah. Radical thinking. I don't know.
That's wild.
Yeah. Speaking of incredible women in this show, we should talk a little bit about Hagar.
Oh, yeah. Is it these episodes that she has her freak out revelation? Okay.
Nice little trip down memory lane.
Yeah.
Where I started trying to apply logic and just wound up doing a lot of screaming. Because a lot of my questioning last season was, when did Lotor happen?
Right.
We know that we're doing this weird necromancy thing. So how does a child fit into this? And we kind of saw that.
Yeah.
Kind of?
I mean, based...
question mark?
I was going to say, based on her vision, it seemed to me that probably when everything was going down, she was already pregnant.
Yes. Yeah.
And so that was how Lotor happened. Because the whole questioning of like, oh, are you going to be able to save the baby?
Right.
Yeah.
And then we have weird quintessence necromancy happening. So how did that affect Lotor?
I mean, it's pretty safe to say that Lotor's kind of got like that daywalker thing going
on. Yeah, yeah, he's like a half vampire.
Yeah,
I mean, in her womb as she was being exposed to all this quintessence, like it's part of his DNA. It almost puts him on a level with Allura, in which her quintessence is definitely part of her DNA. So it's it's interesting to see,
and it's allowed him to stay so.
Beautifully young.
He's
aged at a much slower rate than your average Galra.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he is a vampire.
A little bit. I mean, I think all Galra are space vampires.
They're
essentially
kind of space vampires. Yeah. Safe to say. you're you're getting, instead of blood, you're getting like planet
you're
juice.
You're sucking the quintessence, and you're a space vampire.
Well, I'm glad that terminology is lasted.
I do have a question, though, and if it's something you guys plan on going into in the show later, don't worry about answering it. But
we would be confirming if we did.
We can change the subject either way.
Right. Kind of.
I was just wondering if that's why Zarkon was so intent on saving Hinerva, not only because he loved her, but because she was pregnant.
Yeah, I think...
Combination, maybe?
Yeah, I think there's also a little bit of him that was maybe had other motives as well.
Yeah.
The dude's kind of dead inside.
and outside a little bit. Yeah.
He's super dead. Like,
yeah,
at this point, inside, outside, all around.
He's all around dead.
I'd love to be able to say that there's like love inside of him, but I think he lost a lot of that in that quintessence transition. Like the pre-Zarkon, definitely emotional ties, but I think that post-Zarkon is just kind of like...
There was, early on when we were... sort of breaking the characters, though. I remember you had brought up the point that isn't it sort of tragically beautiful that he's kept Hagar around, even though he's completely devoid of emotion. And there's something like a strand there. Maybe.
He keeps her there. He doesn't tell her that she's his wife. He doesn't try to fix her.
No.
But he keeps her.
He's just like, yeah.
And it's so creepy that he remembers all of this and she doesn't.
I feel like because she always has to deal with more quintessence than he does, maybe, I don't really know, but I feel like because she's so like deep diving into it that it's just, I feel like
she's walking down his memory lane.
True, but still.
She lost herself.
Been useful this way.
Yeah.
His wife was always, you know, kind of the one pushing him to do things all throughout their marriage, so now to have things sort of the other way around, I mean... If he's already dead inside, like, why would he change that?
True. You got a good point.
There you go. The dude is a villain, for sure. Yeah.
She was kind of his Lady Macbeth, and now she's really coming back into that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's gone. Well, time to take care of things myself, including, and this is the point where I did a lot of screaming at the screen, initiate Operation Quran Stage 4.
Yeah.
I knew it.
I don't think we get the revelation as to what that is in this episode. Yeah. So that's something that's going to be saved for a little bit. But yeah.
But it's cool to know.
There's something to it.
Yeah.
There's definitely an operation involved.
Oh, it wasn't just a hallucination on Shiro's part. This is an actual thing. We're all gonna die.
I mean, obviously, I have theories about it, but it's not anything that anybody can confirm because it's something that we'll learn at a later date.
Something that I think extends beyond this season, such as it is.
I mean, I have a feeling that's probably the case.
Yeah.
Just leave it at that.
So we have Sam Holt back in play, which it's good to see him, and he's held up remarkably well for being in a Kalra prison for several years.
It's that chamois you gotta wear.
I think that's the thing. Once they kind of realized that he was proficient at science, they took him out of the hard labor and they put him in the cushy, like, well, cushy for Galra.
Yeah. Prison.
Like,
sure.
You get the rec room privileges.
Yes. Yes.
You get to go out and do your experiments with the microscopes.
Yes.
But
we don't use the electroshock collars.
No. Yes. That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. I like that it explained, there was sort of a twofold explanation for why it had been so difficult to find him. Number one, that he was being held in this other, like, deep level security prison. And it also explained why he had held up so well, because he wasn't just, and why he was alive at all, because they intentionally kept him alive because, again, they figured out he was good at science.
Yeah, right.
And it was a prison under Lotor's control, and Lotor hadn't been a player in this game until recently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So how would they ever have come across it without him?
Right.
All these points you make are correct.
Confirmation!
Approved!
We did it!
And just watching the science siblings go at it is...
It's wonderful. It makes my heart swoon, but also my brain hurts.
It's so interesting because I think one of the things I really like about Pidge as a character is, even though she is very intelligent, very logical, very science-minded. She's not emotionally detached at all.
Oh, she's
particularly
ferocious.
When it comes to her family.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that was her whole reason for coming out here in the first place.
Right.
Yeah. So she's not going to let that go. She let it go for a little bit to be part of Voltron, but
sure.
The second like information comes up, she's not about to just be like, well, maybe we'll just sacrifice my dad. No problem.
Right.
Like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah,
right.
She was the one sort of the most outspoken.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, even fierce. Going all the way back to the first season when she was trying to leave, mm-hmm. and Keith was like, everybody is family. Like, you're not the only person. Like, you got to think about the bigger picture.
That's right.
It's just, it was interesting to see that sort of disconnect between the two of them. And
mm. and Keith, of all people, making the everyone has families yeah. argument. Like, oh, well, buddy, aww. You've been living in a shack on your own.
But he would have come out to space for Shiro, because Shiro was his family.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah,
so he understands, I think, as much as she does about needing to save that yeah. person in space.
Sure.
Yeah.
Kudos to Bex also. Again,
yeah,
great performance with that
absolutely.
Ferocious, just absolute rage.
Between mm-hmm. that and the Matt episode where she was at the...
Listen, yeah. I legitimately thought Matt was dead, so...
Did you go like, we're only halfway through, what's going on?
Oh my God, I was literally just sobbing
yeah.
at that episode where she found where she was running through the sort of graveyard.
Yes.
And I really thought he was dead.
The Netflix...
I think we all did.
Yeah. Netflix spoiled that episode.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
The
That's
Reviews.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
no,
right.
That,
yeah.
I was so mad.
There were a lot of spoilers for Matt, so I'm glad that you avoided all
I
of them.
I did, yeah. Right. I try not to look at the thumbnails now because I right. know that that's the
yeah.
thing. I just
yeah.
very quickly click on the first episode and I'm like, yes, Netflix, I'm still watching.
We got that in the middle of the season. We were like, we're halfway through the last episode and Netflix goes, are you still there? And we're like, don't you judge me. Of course I'm still here. What do you take me for?
That's awesome.
Yep. But yeah, I'm liking how Matt has become sort of a little part of the team. Yeah.
I'm wondering where Pidge's arc is going to go from here, because we got her dad back. She's got her family back. That's her big driving impetus resolved. Well, and I'm curious as to what the next step for her is going to be. And I'm not looking at you guys.
I mean,
it's true.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to bring something up because I can't remember if it was at the end of episode 2 or if it was at the beginning of episode 3.
Give it like 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was definitely the beginning of episode 3. So I'll wait because I can talk about it then. But,
sure.
you know, that I thought was a good moment for Pidge.
Yeah. I mean, the end of episode 2 was basically the sun coming out over Lotor having taken over Pride Rock.
Right? Dude. Lotor with that black Bayard and the evolving, like, purple energy sword was great.
Oh,
yeah.
And yet it came down to a shard of rock.
I know.
I love it.
I think
yeah.
that was a Galra ship. Shard of
yeah.
a Galra ship.
Yeah.
Some
sort of shrapnel.
Shrapnel,
okay.
Yeah.
It was still, whenever this show decides to go full anime, it's always
so
a treat. Like Zarkon actually like getting the quintessence injections
oh, yeah.
and kind
the
of having
Bane
he banged it up.
Oh yeah. Yeah. yeah, no, that I mean, and I appreciated how difficult that fight was for Lotor yeah. and the fact that Lotor basically managed to come out victorious because he was resourceful.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
at the end of the day, he was also like protecting his new family.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Zarkon had aim on
yeah.
the crew, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Zarkon is the guy who 1v1'd Eliah. Like, you don't mess
true.
With that.
No.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And if Lotor hadn't intervened, yeah, he probably would have.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just, you know, killed all of Team Voltron. No big deal.
Damage.
Yeah, yep. but God, the choreography for Star that Vader. Fight, I think at one point I wrote down Zarkon punched a sword.
Yeah.
Watching it go and just him not needing any weapons outside of his armor was, it's
yeah.
always incredible to watch Zarkon fight.
He's
yeah.
awesome.
And it was, we ended up giving him, like, for story reasons, we gave him the big kind of life support
sure
suit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but then there was also like that added thing about having that full face mask that just makes someone creepier.
Yeah.
Yes.
You just can't tell.
No, totally. Well, because it's like when you and especially in these episodes where you see that sort of immediate juxtaposition of like, because it is an evolution of Zarkon, where you have the Zarkon we see in the flashback episode where he has a face and you can see it, and then the Zarkon we meet at the beginning of the series who's more heavily armored, but still has some features to this point where it's like he's just not even whoever Zarkon was. It's not this guy.
He's got a full shredder, or I guess super shredder.
Yeah, totally.
One foot in the grave and the other one in power armor. It's always when they're the most dangerous. Do we have any final thoughts on this before we drop the spoiler embargo on these two episodes?
I feel like we covered it, basically. I want to
talk. A lot of combat.
Yeah.
There's a ton of fight.
Yeah.
They were beautiful, and I was absolutely not expecting any of it. So,
great.
Kudos. These were, good lord.
Yeah, I was astounded when Zarkon got killed.
Yeah.
Come on.
I was like, what episode are we on?
Wait, what? We're how far into the series?
I'm so confused.
And we just killed our main antagonist?
So, yeah, when the series dropped on Twitter, dropped on Netflix, were you guys just, like, scanning Twitter to go, like, wait for it? Should be about 45 minutes before the tweets start coming.
A little bit. Yeah. Like, yeah, we were in Seattle.
That's right. Yeah.
And so, yeah, like... We just finished like our full day of work, so we were both wiped, and I was just in bed. And then I think at some point, like halfway asleep, I was like, "Oh, let's check Twitter." and then I was awake, and I was like, "Now I can't fall back asleep." But yeah, it was fun just to see what everyone was saying.
Yeah, I think actually before that, are we in spoiler free zone?
We are officially into spoiler embargo territory. Like, we're talking.
Spoiler alert!
So if you've only managed spoiler to watch alert. The first two episodes, this is the point where you want to leave the podcast and come back when you're done. All right, go for it.
The first thing that I saw was Crolio. Like,
that really was.
Crolio was just blowing
the
up.
The big one. Everyone loves Crolio.
She's beautiful.
She's incredible. I mean, when they started talking about how Keith was supposed to go in and you know, extract this spy that they had on the inside, I knew it was going to be her.
Don't use his emotion.
And then you saw the bangs and you were like,
He looks exactly like her.
Yeah.
My husband and I were watching, we're like, is that Keith? What's happening? It's crazy.
He was just cackling it. You can't use your emotions for this one. The mission comes first. And I'm like, he just tried to stop a mission because his emotions got in the way? Like, are we sure this is the... Okay.
All right.
Okay. You're in charge.
Just gotta roll with it.
Yeah.
Lotor, throughout this entire season and attempting to realize what Megan has been calling and what I'm adopting because I love it, his magical space prince destiny, and then failing at the finish line, I'm worried about where he's going to go from here. Because that's a hard blow.
I started to debate whether or not I trusted Lotor was when he got... so violent when they were in the sort of Altaian magical promised land.
Yeah, same.
Eldorado.
Yeah, Eldorado, exactly.
Space Eldorado.
Yeah, that was where I started to again go, what's his deal? But then when Allura got out of it and he's like, well, you're the most Altaian, you know?
No, that made my stomach sick.
What I was wondering, if it was one of those things where it's like, good job, Allura, you've done such a great job, and on the inside it's just crying and screaming.
And we know this is only half a season. That this is a 13-episode season that has, again, been cut in half by Netflix.
Right.
So there's definitely more coming down the line.
Sure, absolutely.
I worry about that, and I worry so much about Shiro.
Oh my God.
We've been talking about this for seasons.
He knows something's wrong.
Something's
Lance
happening.
Lance knows something's wrong.
I think everybody...
And nobody wants to address it, which is only going to make it
worse. It's interesting, though, because I feel like... if Pidge and Hunk have any idea that anything is not right, they're just, as you say, like, not being vocal about it at all. Whereas Lance now is hyper aware of it.
Right.
Yeah.
And Keith was aware of it.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Hunk said something.
He did.
You know, he was sort of like.
Well, when Shiro started being such a jerk to Lance, like, he was so aggressively mean to him.
Yeah.
Being like, well, Lance, it's not your decision.
And I was like, whoa.
There was that scene where they were all in the mindscape.
Yes.
And
he wasn't showing up.
He wasn't
up
in there.
Yeah. Yep.
My big concern was that when
and Shiro and Lance kind of went off on their own, if Lance had had any relevant information to share, I really worry about, like, whether or not Shiro would have gotten violent with him. Whether that was, like, under his control or not.
Right.
Yeah.
I think part of the unwillingness for any of them to talk about it is, like, we all know Shiro's real traumatized. We all know there's issues, but it's like, that's Shiro, we can deal with that. We don't really want to go into something else is really wrong with Shiro, because he's still kind of the rock for the team. Mm. And if there's something wrong with your support pillar, that rattles all the way down.
I know, but even though, like, I'm really proud of Lance, because I feel like he's slowly becoming the rock at one point.
Oh, yeah.
The rock of the team.
That's what he's cooking.
Sorry, the rock of the team. But I do like the fact that we went from Lance being, like, the Sokka of the group, pretty much, and now he's pretty much not the most mature, but he's, like, right up there, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, he's still the Sokka of the group. But he's the late season Sokka of the group.
I mean, he has has good character development. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and it doesn't happen overnight. It's gradual. It's like a real person.
Yeah. So, was there anything you wanted to include in this season that didn't make it for one reason or another? For time,
that you could talk about.
There's seven more episodes we
would
like
to. Yeah, we would like to have it.
We'll get there.
No, it's all good. There's nothing that I can come up with.
I mean, I think one of the interesting phenomenons is that, you know, we sort of had that hashtag not my Shiro thing kind of going on for so long. And then once you see that Shiro's actually being tormented by whatever's going on with him, then I noticed a shift online where people are like, oh no, like, he's, like, self-aware now. Like, what's going on? So there's a sympathy that I think is
well-deserved. Exactly. Well, and the fact that, you know, you do see him at his sort of most aggro, but he has a conversation with Lance about, I don't know, I feel like I'm not really myself. So there's definitely now I think that the sympathy from the audience is hopefully starting to come out.
I still maintain that the original Shiro is either dead or in a tube somewhere.
We haven't seen him since the arena, and there's been some memory shenanigans happening. I maintain that not only is the Shiro we have now not the real Shiro, but the Shiro we had before is also not the real Shiro.
We've been on that same, like, all of us have kind of been on the same boat with that.
But you know, all the way down that rabbit hole.
You know, who's not in a tube anymore? Sendak.
Sendak.
Someone went through the trailer frame by frame and pulled a frame of him standing on the stairs with someone. He's like way in the background. Yeah. And they're like, guys, I recognize that arm. Guys, Sendak is coming back. And this is like, you know, a week before the season drops. I'm like, oh my God.
I was so curious when Hagar started her, like, team up of all the lady.
We're putting a team together.
For Lotor. I mean, that was really what it was.
The lady team is the best.
I know, the lady team is great. And I was like, what is their plan? And then they brought Sendak as basically their
figurehead.
For the Kral Vera.
Puppets.
He's their big, strong Trojan horse, because let's be real, he's not going to be able to run the
show. No, definitely not. I mean, and even Lotor called it point that he's like, the biggest issue is going to be Hagar, but she can't actually be the leader of the Galra because she's not Galra.
That's right.
Yeah. So...
She
has a puppet.
Yep.
So I'll be interested to see where the series as a whole goes from here, because we have, for the most part, removed our main antagonist. I still think Zarkon's going to come back as a row beast in some capacity. Oh, like, let's just go full on.
It happened in the original.
Yeah, it did.
But Hagar is still very much at work. We have introduced Altea and El Dorado. Like, we could go anywhere from here.
Yeah.
Was it fun, like, once Zarkon was sort of removed from the situation, was it fun getting to sort of play with all of these different characters and Galra factions and go, okay, well, what would happen if we removed him completely?
That's kind of the thing. It's sort of like weird character Jenga, because it's like, once you, like, is the whole thing going to topple, or is it going to sort of correct and balance itself out? I mean, that's interesting as storytellers to see how things shake out.
Yeah, for sure.
Yin and Yang in the chat asks an interesting question regarding Zarkon's death and how it affects Hagar. Does she have any sort of reaction to it whatsoever?
Ooh. I think she probably would have more reaction than he might have to her death.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, yeah, she's kind of becoming self-aware as well. She's remembering this whole past and, you know, this husband and this child that she had. And so, yeah, I think definitely it's not going to stop her from trying to get done what she needs to get done. But
yeah. But, even before that, though, she was really, I think, worried for his well-being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When he was going off and being super crazy about the black lion.
When he was in that coma for a good long while. Yeah. And even when he was resuscitated, she was like, my husband, come back to me.
Yeah.
It was very sad.
What a messed up family dynamic.
What's going on with all of our moms?
But you know who doesn't have a messed up family dynamic?
Nobody.
Holt family.
Yeah! We got one!
That's only a slightly traumatized
Traumatized, but not super messed up. That's but I did want to bring up the fact that, you know, it will be very interesting to see where Pidge and Matt's story goes from here, because both of them do have that moment with their dad where you know, he says to them, oh, you know, your mother's going to be so proud. I can't wait for her to see you. And they're like, Dad, we can't go. We got work to do. So it's just cool to see that, you know, Pidge has kind of evolved beyond just I'm in this for my family and then I'm out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now she has a greater sense of responsibility to protecting
and
the universe.
Poor Colleen has been.
I know, poor woman.
I know.
Where is my heartbreaking. Everyone?
I know. Where's all my people?
I do feel bad for their mom.
Although, yeah. I'm fully expecting Sam to show back up on Earth and immediately just get kidnapped by the garrison.
No, don't say
like, we've already seen that they're willing to do this.
You know what I'm kind of imagining? Because we know that she might not be, like, working as a scientist, but we know she's of a scientific mind, and that's how she and Sam met.
Sure.
She's probably in the middle of building her own spaceship right now. All my children are in space. That's where I'm going.
That would be awesome. Just as he arrives, she's like... The whole thing starts over again.
Wait a minute. How do you do what you try?
How do we do this?
Kind of more of a pressing concern, though. You hit the nail on the head with the garrison.
Yeah,
though.
That was going to be my next thing.
Is the garrison, once they're fully briefed on the situation, are they going to do more harm than good?
I think that I was going to say. They
already
the next
knew.
Big bad.
They knew that aliens existed.
Yeah. Oh,
they covered everything up.
Yep.
So for the betterment of the rest of the world.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? Are we sure about
that? I was like, I don't know about that.
Iverson lost an eye for those convictions.
That was certainly their intention, anyway.
Yeah. You know what they say about the road to hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alexis.
What?
None of my business. Like, nope. Yep.
Well, no, I don't think she ever knew what happened to Pidge.
Really?
I doubt that she knew that Katie went into the garrison under a disguise. I wouldn't be surprised if
she
just disappeared.
Yeah, Pidge. Katie ran away. Yeah.
Super weird to talk about a named twin character, by the way.
But it's awesome.
It is kind of fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm fully expecting Sam to just land on their front lawn
and disappear.
Completely avoid the garrison, completely avoid all of that. Just be like, honey, I'm home.
Aww.
It's been a while.
Love me.
Yeah. Yeah, Thrill Strawberry in chat just wrote garrison flashbacks ? Which is something that
I
would love to see.
Yeah, because I feel like we haven't been on Earth for a while, which I also love that moment with Lance thinking about his family too, and he's like, there's a lot of space dust in here. But it did make me worry about the garrison and like, what are you actually up to? We've been gone for a while.
Would love a meanwhile back at the ranch.
The non-murdery ranch.
Yes, no, all of my notes, every time we switch to the Galra point of view, say meanwhile back at the murder ranch, because that's what tells me for note-taking purposes that this is the Galra scene and I put them all together.
Yeah.
So the actual ranch.
Corinne Yi in the chat asks a very interesting question. Why did you guys choose to use the song Amazing Grace in that I noted that as well. I was like,
you mean for the send-off for the best new character in any show ever?
Fun Bot's my favorite.
You know,
it was fun.
It was just put in by the storyboard artist Owen Sullivan. That's right. He dropped it in,
and it was an homage.
We thought,
to
Wrath of Khan, right?
Yes.
Okay. I was like, maybe up to my nerd flag is going off a little too high.
Yeah. Like, well, well done, Owen.
And we were afraid. Gosh. We were afraid that we weren't going to get to use it.
We thought it was hilarious, and we loved it, and we were like, oh, surely they won't let us use it. But then it was like open source.
Public domain. Right?
Yeah.
So it worked out.
And that fun bot was perfectly placed. We needed that ridiculous humor after that massive upheaval of the entire show.
It's fun to see those characters just go all out. The Lance, Pigeon, Hunk, and just get back to their like goofy Garrison days and hanging out.
Kids.
Kids, you know? I forget about that most of the time. Yeah. Also fun to see no hard feelings between them and the other Galra soldiers
that was one of the things that I thought was super interesting was when you did suddenly have this complete dynamic switch in the Galra Empire when Lotor takes over is... You do have all these Galra soldiers that are basically just like, okay, well, now we serve Lotor.
Are we cool with these guys? Yeah. Great. We probably couldn't win in a fight, so I'm very happy they're on our side.
Yeah. And just and the way that, you know, I think one of the things I really, really enjoyed so much about the season was Allura's journey and her struggle with being a leader, and is she really worthy of being a leader, and also is she making the right choice in cooperating with Lotor because she feels like she doesn't necessarily really have a choice, and it was just very relatable.
And Lotor has spent so much time pounding this whole sins of the father, our dads did this, we should be like our dads thing, just into the ground.
Quite a bit.
It's a pretty powerful thing though when you really think about it, you know, for the sort of side journey that his dad has taken ruined the galaxy.
I think he knows that it's still, for everyone else, it's 10,000 years ago, but for Allura, it's like
recent.
A few months ago and a day. So it's still very fresh in her mind.
But eventually, if you keep using that, it's going to lose its efficacy, and you're going to rely on it to win an argument, and they're just going to go, no, I'm really tired of hearing that line from you. Like, I'm waiting for that to eventually happen.
I really
did like that moment, though, where he's just sitting on the stairs in the bridge, and it, like, right after he killed his father, and it's just very quiet. It's not triumphant. Mm-hmm. It's not super sad. It's just this mixture of emotions, and Allura picks up on that. It's like, you just killed your dad. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah.
Doing you okay over there, sport?
How's the patricide treating you?
Would you like a milkshake?
You don't get to know where they come from. Just accept it for the bounty that it is.
Don't ask.
Don't ever ask. Is there anything else you'd like to say about the season? Is there anything you'd like to tell the fans? Because we're getting pretty close to wrap up here.
Just that more is definitely coming. There's a lot to be excited for.
After this season, I feel like, again, I like it when there's a massive shakeup and you just go, I have no idea where this is going because the whole world has changed.
Yeah.
I'm excited and that's where we're at. Vaguely terrified.
Yeah.
Slightly more than vaguely. Yeah. Straight up terrified.
And that's the thing, too. I think we handle, even with the episode with, you know, the Voltron show, that was an entire sort of rebellion coalition being gathered on screen through this goofy show. We couldn't show that over the course. You know, that deserves 5 seasons of worth course. Of buildup. We couldn't do it. So I think sort of showing that the Galra and the Voltron coalition are kind of working together now, we did that through our guys goofing off. Yeah. But it's very much sort of a microcosm of what's happening on a bigger level.
That was such a great episode. Yeah. Oh my God, that was so much fun. Yeah. All right, do we have anything else to say about... Let's go with tonight's episodes, because we'll have plenty to say about the season.
No, I just, you know, I can't believe that Zarkon got killed off.
He's done.
It's a big deal.
Zarkon is over.
Started off with a bang.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, just the fact that we were able, like, I always forget how long the episodes are, because as I'm watching it, I feel like it can go on for another 2 hours.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, it's done. Oh, next up. Okay. Just hit next. But yeah, just the fact that you guys are such...
you guys are so amazing and talented that you guys can fit all of this information within six episodes is just phenomenal. Oh, and I'm awesome. Like, it just, it makes me feel things.
Yeah. Usually when the credits start rolling, I was like, that was what? One episode?
That was, yeah. I was like,
wait, what?
What time is it?
Just masterfully done. All of the technical work for the action sequence were spot on. Oh, awesome. The pacing was great.
God, the animation was beautiful.
Everything was just awesome. Executed perfectly to a T, so yeah. Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, just, ugh. Where's
Netflix? Netflix, drop it in May. That's my birthday. Give it to us soon. Thank you guys so much for joining
thank
us.
You. Yeah, thanks for having us. It's always fun.
Are there any other projects that you're working on that you can tell us about?
More Voltron.
Voltron for days.
Not done yet, so there's that.
That's all about it.
And where can the people go if they want to keep up with you?
Twitter, I think the Art of Lauren M on Twitter. Instagram, I'm the best Lauren Montgomery.
Yeah, you are.
I'm JDS_77 on Instagram, I believe. And I don't know the Twitter anymore. It's
wait, 24/7? JDS 24/7?
Yeah. There you go.
Something like that.
Thank you. Very close.
All right, well, thank you guys so much for joining
thank
us tonight.
Thank you.
Yes.
It's always so much fun.
Well, we look
thank
forward to
you.
The next round.
Thank you, guys. Thanks to all the fans chiming in.
Yeah.
Appreciate you guys. We saw a piece of artwork earlier of us, which was
crazy.
But thank you.
Bananas. And I was wearing these pants.
Special shout out to Princess Ponies 8 on Twitter.
Yeah,
who
always killing it with the art.
Yeah. Seriously.
Every time.
So much fun. Send us your art, guys. We absolutely love it. Emma, where can the people find you?
You can find me all over the internet, wherever Emma Fifes are sold, at my name, Emma Fife.
And Alexis Torres, you guys can find me all over social media at atorres890.
I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me at the Meng one. That's THEMENGUIN.
I'm Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias, as well as on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is KIAXET. For you animation fans, the Star Wars Rebels series finale is right after this on the same channel, so stay tuned. Thanks again for joining us. It's been so much fun.
Right on.
Thanks for watching, you guys, and as always, we will see you next time.
Bye. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Long live the king!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.